This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Here's one good bet these days, a career in cybersecurity. I'm David Brancaccio. First, it's global accounting and consulting firms as well as social media platforms now leaving Russia, given that country's invasion of Ukraine. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
TikTok issued a statement saying in light of Russia's new fake news law, it has no choice but to suspend live streaming in Russia. That law says anyone publishing what the Russian government considers false information faces prison time and a fine. The accounting firm EY, formerly Ernst & Young, is cutting off its Russian operations. The consulting firm Accenture is discontinuing its business in Russia, as are the Boston Consulting Group and McKinsey. And over the weekend, American Express suspended all operations in Russia. But some companies are staying put, like the clothing retailer Uniqlo. So are McDonald's, Coke, and Pepsi. There have been calls to boycott them for continuing to do business in Russia. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We're tracking the price of crude oil now at $117 a barrel. Prices not seen since just before the 2008 mortgage crisis. But that price is down from a high of $130 over the last day. The online site GasBuddy says the average nationwide cost of regular gasoline went up 41 cents in just a week, second only to the weekly jump in prices that followed Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. Many a Monday here we consult economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So much affecting markets and corporate bottom lines and people's lives with Russia, Ukraine. But what we don't have is a financial crisis. Markets are working.
Yeah, that's right. They are very volatile. They are adjusting, but there is new information that they need to reprice on. So that adjustment is to be expected. But so far, there are no signs that the functioning of the markets is impaired or that things are breaking down in any way, the way we saw during the height of the pandemic.
We're reporting on the possibility that the U.S. may enact sanctions on Russian oil and gas. That had been exempt, could happen. That means many companies may want to rethink their profit outlooks. That may mean people want to rethink what's in their portfolio.
That's right. So companies that rely on energy as a big input cost will be hit, and energy companies themselves will do well. So there's a reallocation. And of course, it depends on the details of what is announced.
Yeah, and there's a negotiation with Iran right now that could bring more Iranian oil or less Iranian oil to market, depending on how things go.
Exactly. And U.S. suppliers could also respond more than they have to date. So there are sources of oil that could adjust as this new information comes forward.
Julia Coronado is president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Always good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Germany's DAX index of stocks, way down earlier today, has just gone flat now, not quite positive. The Russian stock exchange closed again today with an update on that due before Wednesday. A Russian economist on a business TV channel last week in Russia ironically toasted what he saw as the demise of the Russian stock market in front of a flummoxed anchor person.
Thank you. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the global economy's biggest stories is even more so following Russia's war on Ukraine. Supply chain distortions. So much of what we use is still made in China, where suppliers have already lost their rhythm given pandemic and ongoing trade tensions between the U.S. and China. Marketplace's correspondent in Shanghai, Jennifer Pak, has been speaking with suppliers across China. Hi there.
Hi, David.
What are the exporters in China telling you?
Well, their biggest challenge is shipping containers. You know, a manufacturer of nuts and bolts told me that right now she would be lucky if she could get a 20-foot container in the next 2 months. And even if she could, it'll cost her firm 3 to 6 times more than the usual costs. And that's because of the pandemic. So some exporters are worried that the war in Ukraine is going to push fuel costs even higher, making these logistics problems even worse.
Are these suppliers thinking at all about maybe moving production outside of China, closer to the markets where they're selling goods?
Well, some of that thinking happened throughout the U.S.-China trade tensions, but China is really strong up and down the supply chain. We're talking raw materials, assembly, logistics. It's really hard to replicate that in a short amount of time.
And there are so many factors that keep companies reliant on China for manufacturing, and that includes the pandemic.
Exactly. The fact that you and other Americans could still order so much stuff online is thanks to China getting the pandemic under control enough to have factories back at work.
Now, state media in China likes to say that China is an irreplaceable part of the supply chain. I mean, big words. Will that always be the case?
Well, one analyst said no country is truly irreplaceable. But in short, if you don't want to buy from China, American consumers should prepare to pay more.
Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai, thank you.
Thanks, David.
Last week, new rules requiring government agencies, contractors, and critical infrastructure companies to upgrade their cybersecurity protections passed in the U.S. Senate. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said, quote, cyber warfare is truly one of the dark arts specialized by Putin. Hardening computer systems requires people who are in short supply. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
The good news is that the U.S. added more than 250,000 people to the cybersecurity workforce between 2020 and 2021. The bad news, says Claire Rosso with the nonprofit ISC Squared,
the need for cybersecurity professionals increased by 30% in 2021.
So that still leaves about 400,000 open cybersecurity jobs in the U.S., according to an ISC Squared report.
In any period of time, this is concerning. It is especially concerning now.
International business services firm Accenture currently has hundreds of openings in cybersecurity, says Ryan LaSalle, who leads the North America practice for Accenture Security.
There are more jobs out there than there are people qualified to take them.
People have traditionally come to the industry through computer science and information technology, but that narrows the pipeline too much, says LaSalle.
So we look really hard at upskilling and reskilling. How do we bring people from other adjacent areas and make them great security professionals? We love anthropologists. We love social scientists. We love criminologists.
Accenture also runs an apprenticeship program to recruit and train early career workers, many without college degrees. And the company has helped high schools create curriculums to attract young people to the profession. But expanding the pipeline will take more than just a company-by-company approach, says Max Steyer with the nonprofit Partnership for Public Service.
Much of our critical infrastructure is owned and operated by the private sector. The government, the federal government, however, has a critical role in quarterbacking the response and the preparedness.
He suggests something like the ROTC, a scholarship for service model to get people into cybersecurity. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And people are going to the movies as pandemic recedes. The Batman took in $129 million at North American theaters this weekend. In the COVID era, only December's release of Spider-Man No Way Home made more. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.